Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. The Providence Downtown Improvement District says business is surging in the core of the capital city. Its annual business guide shows 13 new restaurants and shops opened last year. 35 new businesses have opened their doors in the past 2 years. And this is just in the downtown area. It doesn't include College Hill, Federal Hill, or other popular business districts. Joelle Cantor of the Providence Downtown Improvement District says the new businesses run the gamut.
We have jewelry stores with Alex and Annie and Noon Design Shop on Way Bossett. We have eateries from Ellie's Bakery to Faniaho to Providence Coal-Fired Pizza. And Figadini just opened with another wood-fired grill on Washington Street. So it's a great mix. And I think it's also accessible. These businesses are lifestyle-oriented, but they're not only high-end.
Cantor says the resurgence of the downtown area is part of a national trend toward traditional business districts. The Rhode Island Public Transit Authority is in a period of change, and this morning RIPTA board chair and Warwick Mayor Scott Avedisian will outline some of the changes coming this year. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, the changes are aimed at making the state's bus system more efficient and cost-effective.
The bus stop realignment project launches this summer. It will consolidate bus stops statewide. The thinking is that fewer stops equal faster buses that can operate on a more reliable schedule. Also this summer, work will be finished on a new roof and solar panel project at RIPTA headquarters on Melrose Street. The authority expects to save $30,000 a year as a user of solar energy. New bus schedules will be coming out in the fall. RIPTA says they'll be easier to understand and include easy-to-read timetables. This winter, RIPTA launches the R Line, running from the Providence-Cranston line along Broad Street to Kennedy Plaza and then to Pawtucket. It's RIPTA's highest ridership corridor, with 10,000 passengers per weekday. The R Line is getting 25 new shelters, 7 ticket vending machines, enhanced signage, and bike racks. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
A flood warning remains in effect this morning for the Patuxent River in Cranston. The river reached 11 feet over the weekend, 2 feet higher than flood stage. It crested with no reports of major residential flooding, but the National Weather Service says more rain is in the forecast for tonight and tomorrow. That could lean to a return to a minor flood stage by tomorrow. A flood watch is in effect for most of the state starting this evening. And the Woonsocket City Council has a tough decision to make tonight. According to the Woonsocket Call, council members who earn $9,000 a year are being asked to vote themselves a 33% pay cut. The idea was reportedly advanced by Woonsocket Council President John Ward at the urging of the city's budget commission and is being met with mixed reactions. Woonsocket has the third highest paid city councilors in the state, according to a survey done last year by the State Department of Revenue.
One of Rhode Island's grand assets is the millions of gallons of water that flow every day from the Scituate Reservoir to the sinks, bubblers, and bathtubs that serve 60% of Rhode Islanders. In a state with a serious inferiority complex about so much, our water is the boast of a small state. We have some of the nation's most plentiful, cheap, and clean water. Yet, as is the case with other precious resources, Rhode Island needs to move now to protect what we have and prepare for the future. The Providence Water Supply Board controls the reservoir and the treatment and piping systems that deliver pure water from communities in the East Bay to the Patuxent River watershed. Begun in 1915, the reservoir by the mid-1920s flooded a natural bowl at the headwaters of the North Branch of the Patuxent, creating the largest freshwater body in the ocean state. It was the wellspring of clean water for the capital city's growing population and the linchpin for the development of the industrial powerhouse that was Rhode Island in the years between the turn of the 20th century and World War II. The system has worked well for almost 100 years. Now comes a reckoning. The Scituate Reservoir and its surrounding forests and watershed have been well protected and maintained, but the miles of underground pipes that feed the system have not. The rotting and sediment-clogged pipes need to be replaced to plug leaks and guarantee a free flow of pure water in the future. Rhode Island's water infrastructure problems are hardly unique. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency, in a survey released last week, has determined that almost $400 billion in improvements are needed between now and the year 2030 nationwide to preserve safe drinking water for almost 300 million Americans. Providence built and has long maintained the reservoir, but city government gets nothing from this asset. Because of political controversy that harks to the 1980 governor election between then-Mayor Buddy Cianci and then-Governor Joseph Garrahy, the city is barred from using the water system as a revenue source. Now that the system needs major upgrades, the Providence Water Supply Board has scant choice but to ask for fairly steep water rate increases to pay for fixing or replacing the miles of pipes, much of which lies under city streets. The cost of this upgrade may be as much as $500 million. The Water Supply Board has asked state utility regulators for permission to raise residential rates by 24% and the wholesale rates it charges other systems for Citrus water, including the Bristol County Water Authority and the Kent County Water Authority, by 32%. The new money would be used largely for the pipe work. There's probably a better way to handle all this. Under legislation pending in the General Assembly, the state's larger water systems that draw from Scituate would be merged into one large utility to be called the Ocean State Regional Water Authority. There's wise precedent for such an entity. Until the Narragansett Bay Water Quality Commission was formed in 1980, the communities along the upper Narragansett Bay treated the bay as an open sewer. The Fields Point Treatment in Providence and the Buckland Point Treatment Plant in East Providence poured 65 million gallons of poorly treated wastewater into the bay every day, polluting our state's premier asset and killing the shellfishing industry. Since the Bay Commission took over, Narragansett Bay has gotten noticeably cleaner, shell and sport fishing has come back, and there is even a nascent oyster fishery. A merger of our water providers would also consolidate many of the more than 100 water systems that serve our state. Our speck of a state is overrun with government and quasi-government agencies, more than 150 pension systems, 70 fire departments, and water systems so tiny that some serve just a few hundred customers. If you think this plethora of public agencies, some that date to colonial times, is serving Rhode Island well in the 21st century, we bring you to the bankrupt Coventry Fire District. A new consolidated water authority would also have the virtue of shifting the current water supply board employees from Providence's stressed employee pension system to a new pension program that would be solvent and financed from water customers. There has been one hearing on the rate increase so far, but no one from the public showed up last Wednesday. There's another hearing June 18th at the Providence Public Safety Complex. It's time for citizens and their representative to take notice instead of taking the clean water from their faucets for granted. Nothing is forever if it isn't maintained.